And hello, hello. This is Brad Martin on Unsung Heroes on MileHighRadio.com. And yes, Scott, I've been dying to say this. I'm back. Hey, we're at the brand new studios over here on Parker and Yale at MileHighRadio.com. New and improved and expanded. I love it. Great place to come in. And I have a wonderful guest here. Her name is Sue Kenfield, and she is a person who is a consultant, training, and coaching expert. And I want to emphasize expert on this one. And I met her at a speaking workshop down in South Denver a couple of months ago. And my God, I said, I got to have her on. So, Sue, welcome on board.
Thank you, Brad. It's nice to be here.
Well, let's hear a little bit about you, how you fell in love with this career of choice, and let's hear the stories.
Okay, great. Well, I am the president and founder of See It Thrive, which is a performance improvement consulting company.
Okay.
And when I say performance improvement, I'm, you know, really focused on helping people get better at what they do in their work and in their lives to capture the success that they want to experience in life.
Okay. And as an example, what is a success in work performance? And, as we talked before, is this kind of relating to the bottom dollar of a company?
Absolutely. I focus primarily on leadership development, team development. I work with people around conflict management. And I also do some individual coaching work for people who might want some one-on-one assistance in getting to where they want to be. Anytime you can improve performance, whether it's through a leader or through a team, you're going to impact the bottom line. What kind of results are people getting?
Yeah. As an example, I know you can't really name companies because you probably have quite a huge list of companies you work with, but is it kind of that employer-employee kind of thing that you have to get in the middle of?
Sometimes, yes. Or it's when a leader of a department, for instance, wants to improve the cohesion of his team or her team. If you have, anytime you have people working together, you have different perspectives. And when people bring those perspectives to work, it influences how they respond to whatever situations arise, both good and interesting, on the job.
Okay. Now, I guess as an example, if I could use the radio station here as an example. If guest host had some issues with upper management, let's say, would this be something that you could intervene on and just say, let's go this way versus that way, or would this be something that we could resolve?
Yeah, absolutely. Helping people understand their own perspective and the perspective of others increases their ability to manage those situations more effectively. Mm-hmm. So people aren't taking things personally. They're not overreacting. That's not to say that overreactions may not occur, but what happens when they do. So I really got into this by being really interested in human behavior. And it goes back probably about 20, 25 years for me that I'm just fascinated by how people choose to respond and what it is that influences how we respond.
So as an example, I guess I would say this sounds like something you pulled out from your college days and, certain things like that. But is it kind of reading the person's mind or reading the situation to where you'd make it feel comfortable?
Well,
or
I would
make the work situation better.
Yeah, I would love to be able to read people's mind, I think, sometimes.
Some of us all would.
Yeah, that would be, and some people can. I don't read people's mind so much as I go in and I talk with my clients about what they'd like to see happen within the performance of their organization, the performance of the individuals who work there, and the performance of the teams that might be at play. within any kind of an organization. Just
can
even,
you give examples on stuff like that?
Well, if you have an IT department, for instance, the people who work on that IT department are a team, and they all have their individual goals, and they have a collective goal that the team needs to reach. Each person has their own responsibilities, but they all have to show up and do their job effectively for the group goal to be accomplished in the manner that the organization wants, which is in a highly productive manner.
Okay, and do you report back to the managers and kind of, or give suggestions to the managers?
Sure.
I think this should go this way versus that way.
Well, oftentimes the managers are involved. So, for instance, I've done some recent team building with a group of people, and their manager is involved in it. There's some natural tension that occurs on teams, and you've got different personalities and different behavior styles that show up on these teams.
Now, is that good or bad?
Well, it's just, it is. It's neither good or bad. It's just the reality. And when they can understand more about one another and why one might choose to approach a situation one way versus how another chooses to approach the situation, then we come up with ways to help them work together and see the other's point of view without responding in a negative way to that, recognizing that that's just who that person is and the way that they show up.
Yeah, I'm going back to a situation I had back in 97. I was invited to the Citizens Fire Academy out here in Aurora, and I got the chance to experience some of the learning abilities that the fire department did, and relating to what you just said, so they said if you take three people, you take one and two, create a situation, the bottom line, it will get done one way. You take person one and three, doing it a slightly different way, the bottom line, it does get done, but a slightly different way. But, you know, nothing's wrong.
Right. It's just the way that people choose to approach a given situation. There's a couple different models that exist out there that talk about behavioral intelligence. I focus particularly on emotional social intelligence, and that's really our ability to understand and manage our emotions and our responses to everyday events and with others in those everyday
events.
So
sort of keeping them in check.
Right. It's reflective of things like flexibility, optimism, empathy, independence, problem solving. I could name off 15 different competencies that are all part of emotional social intelligence.
Great, yeah.
And some people, when they hear that, they think, oh, it's that touchy-feely stuff. You know, I don't want any part of that. But it shows up everywhere in our lives.
It does. It does. You know, how many times do we high-five? How many times do we do the shoulder bumps for a hug and stuff, just to acknowledge something? And again, there's nothing wrong with that.
Sure. Well, there's a guy who is named Ruvon Baron. And back in the late 80s, he was looking at what is it that makes people successful. Mm-hmm. And he noticed there is a group of people who tend to have a high IQ, might be somewhere around the genius level. Mm-hmm. And even those people oftentimes were unsuccessful, and he was looking at why that is. And he was able to discover that in addition to our IQ, our emotional, our intelligence IQ, there's what he coined as EQ, or emotional quotient,
okay,
which is our emotional intelligence. And again, it's those things that inform our decision-making, our self-perception, the way we handle stress.
Okay. Now, I guess I'm going to have to ask that all-important question, Sue, is, you know, coming up through this, something must have clicked with you to pursue this kind of a career. You know, I would say, you know, if I was in college and I was doing psych classes and stuff like that, you know, this is where I'd say, oh, my God, I couldn't take it. It sounded like you just ate it up.
Well, I did study psychology. I had the intention of going into being a therapist when I was in college. And shortly after graduating, I got burnout and just entered the workforce and worked my way through sales and into training and development. But I went back later on to get my master's in counseling because, again, I thought that was some of the work that I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And I think it's great work. I chose not to go on and get licensed as a therapist. But when I was finishing up my master's degree, I found what's called professional coaching. And professional coaching works with people to come up with solutions to mm-hmm. either life issues or work issues so that they can be more effective, happier, and more fulfilled people.
Okay. If you could share with us how long you've been doing this, and have you had any kind of real challenging situations that are still to this day stuck in the mind?
Well, when I was learning about emotional intelligence, I became fascinated because it helped me understand a little bit more as to why people might behave the way they do, mm-hmm. including myself. I started learning about emotional intelligence back in around 2000. Mm-hmm. So I've been involved in this work for probably 10 years. And that's when I got my coach's training as a professional executive coach, and I went on to get more coaching training later on.
Mm-hmm.
And in my own performance, I've spent most of my career in the corporate arena. I was in medical device sales for a long time and then moved into training and development. And as I went through different experiences in my life and noticed my stress levels getting higher, my ability to respond to challenging situations were sometimes not quite what I had hoped. But in the moment, I was so overcome that we all sometimes have those moments where we recognize, oh, wow, I just put my foot in my mouth. But at the time it was happening, I could not stop myself.
Mm-hmm. And does that sound familiar?
Yes. So I like to call those career limiting moves.
I call it tripping up.
Tripping up is also good.
So go ahead.
Yeah, and, just as an example of emotional intelligence, maybe something that your listeners might be able to relate to, obviously, our Broncos have been in the news quite a bit recently.
Oh, yes.
And they were in the news quite a bit a few years ago when Jay Cutler was here.
Yes.
And McDaniels came in, and at the end of the season, he was doing what a good coach would and entertaining just conversations with people.
Mm-hmm.
And when Jay Cutler found out that McDaniels had called the quarterback, who I think was in New England at the time, had a meltdown. It was merely a phone call. Nobody had made an offer to this particular quarterback, but the way our quarterback, Jay Cutler, chose to respond reflected sort of a challenge around emotional social intelligence. And he went on to leave the team with a lot of bad blood and a lot of hurt feelings. It was interesting for me that later that year, one of the best-selling Halloween costumes out there was a diaper and a pacifier, because people perceived him to be a crybaby because of the way he handled that. This is where emotional social intelligence comes into play.
Yes.
It has been shown to be anywhere from 27 to 45% of our success in work and life.
Okay. So, it's just amazing to hear these stories and stuff. You know, how many times you've had your meltdowns and I've had my meltdowns, and I could just imagine what you went through preparing yourself for all this. But did you ever second guess yourself through all this?
Through the process of going into this line of work?
Yes.
Well, sure. I think there's times that it's natural for us to question whether or not we're moving in the right direction. But I have a passion for helping people.
Yes.
And that's what informs what I do.
I hear this all the time, and I know you're part of this group of people that says I'm a people person. You know, it's great to hear people who are the givers and are understanding and wanting to kind of take it to a more softer side.
Yes, in fact, what I do, oftentimes people classify that as the soft skills.
Wow.
Because what we have found is while it's important for people to be technically proficient in what they do, the person here that runs the radio show and interfaces with the internet. Technically, that person has to be really good at what they do, and if they want to have an effective working relationships or relationships outside mm-hmm. of work, they have to have an understanding of what it is that drives them. And I believe emotional social intelligence drives our behavior.
Do you hear that, Scott? He's looking at me like
just an example, Scott. So what the research has shown that even while people can have incredibly high technical proficiency in what they do, if they don't then mix that with good flexibility, a level of optimism that draws people in, good decision-making and stress management skills, it can derail their success at work.
Yes, I bet, yeah. You know, I guess I'm hearing a lot of this. It's like the optimism I have. I work with Optimum Club in Aurora, and I hear this all the time where it says, you know, we need to get everybody excited. We need to get them cheered up and all this. And it's always neat to hear some of these kind of positive stories, and then, you know, doing this show here today and in the past, you know, I'm hearing that there are a lot of good people out there, and, you know, like bringing you on too. I was excited to bring you on because
well, thank you, and I applaud you for having a show that focuses on bringing attention to the positive that people are doing out there. Given the economy that we've all been through these last few years, people are under high levels of stress, which impacts our ability to show up in ways that can be effective. And the level of optimism is at an all-time low.
Okay. Hey, let's kind of take a quick break and come right back, and we're going to continue on. And again, Scott, you're on our optimistic side. Take care, everybody.
Inside your heart, you don't have to be afraid of what you are. There's an answer if you reach into your soul, and the sorrow that you know will melt away. And then the strength to carry on, and you cast your fears aside, and you know you can't survive. So when you feel like hope is gone, look inside you and be strong, and you'll finally see the truth that a hero lies in you. I'm not afraid to die.
getting so emotional. I'm loving this and everything. Hey, welcome back, everybody. We're on Unsung Heroes on MileHighRadio.com. We have Sue Kenfield, a wonderful young lady who is a consultant, training, and coaching expert. Sue, I'm going to let you take over the next 15 minutes of the show. It's all yours.
Excellent. I guess just as a way to kind of finish what we were talking about in emotional intelligence and emotional social intelligence, because, again, it involves our interaction with ourselves and others and how we manage our responses to life. Companies that have focused on improving the emotional social intelligence of their workers have seen an increase in productivity. You have a major beverage company who saw an increase in productivity of over 10%.
Wow, that's a good chunk of change.
A decrease of 81% in executive turnover.
Wow.
And we can talk about leadership development here in a little bit. There's also a major pharmaceutical company that saw the emotional social intelligence of their employees rise by 18% through the training that they provided. And they saw an increase in sales by over 12% per month as a result of some of this. And a major hotel increased their market share by 24%. Because when you connect people with what impacts their performance and you them get better at that.
You know, I can relate to what you're saying. Before I retired, I was working for a local grocery chain out here in Denver. And through that, I just remembered the human element there, and it was so interesting that you know if you kind of were standoffish versus dealing with the customer's needs, this turned into more of a good rapport with the customer who had the dollars, who we had the product, and we wanted to make this a good marriage together.
Absolutely.
Of the situation.
I've trained a lot of salespeople for those very reasons, to increase and improve their performance with the customer so that mm-hmm. they can actually get the results they're looking for and the customer can get the results that they also want.
Another thing, too, is coming to mind is I'm also a registered nonprofit here in the Denver area. And with this, I also found out that you have somebody in crisis or somebody who is in major world of hurt, I guess is the best way to put it for me. You know, sometimes you're giving a product, but you're helping somebody get back on their feet. Even though it's a Band-Aid fix, it's a start.
Sure.
You know, and it amazes me how much one simple thing like a pillow, a blanket, you know, even a teddy bear for that one child. It's amazing what kind of a positive rapport you'll get back from that.
Absolutely. And all those things help to increase somebody's level of self-regard, which impacts their ability to go out and maybe do some similar work in the world, supporting others by giving back.
Exactly. You know, I have a question I wanted to ask you on this. You know, your titles here, consulting, training, and coaching. I want to ask this, and I know you're not in this category, but could you explain to me what a person who does anger management, is that some, you know, I know you don't do it, but, you know, I'm sure you can kind of help explain it to me and to the listening audience.
Actually, anger management is a symptom of somebody's emotional social intelligence gone bad. That's a perfect example of somebody who's struggling to manage their stress, and so they're responding inappropriately, oftentimes in out of anger.
Uh-huh.
And so there's classes that can help people understand why people are angry and how to manage those responses more effectively. And I believe that those are all emotional intelligence competencies that people who go through anger management classes learn. How to be more flexible, how to approach decision making to be more inclusive of others, how to their impulse control is a big one. And I wrote a blog on my website about Adele, the really successful artist who's out there cleaning up on awards, and how her lack of impulse control impacted the gesture that she shared with everybody when she was in London, which was an obscene gesture because she was challenged by how the suits were cutting off her acceptance speech. And so she got a little angry, and she did something that was, you know, is considered inappropriate on national television. And
I could visualize that one.
Right. And so there's different levels of when anger gets out of control and people have to go through anger management classes. That's impeding their success in life and their relationships.
Yeah, I could just imagine with it. You know, there were times that, I just couldn't stand being around certain people, or, you know, they just pushed her the wrong way. And, my best way was just to walk away, because I always afraid that somebody's going to beat me up.
Sure. And that's a perfect segue into conflict and the conflict management work that I do with some of my clients. Anytime you have people working together, you have the potential for conflict.
Physical and verbal?
Well, let's hope it's not physical, but oftentimes when people are pushed to the limit, and I think those people who wind up in the anger management courses you were talking about might have gone a little too far and started to do some physical demonstration of their anger, which in the workplace is totally unacceptable.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
But even some of the verbal responses that we have in the workplace when it comes to conflict, you know, I don't know that we're really taught how to manage conflict. And there's a model out there by Thomas Kilman that shows five different conflict styles. And it's just how we all choose to approach conflict. I probably have a different conflict management style than you do. But until we get into conflict, I'm going to imagine you should be handling it the way I would. And vice versa, you're probably going to imagine I should handle it the way you would. Well, that's really not possible because of our different perspectives.
This goes back to that comment that I shared with you about the fire department.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have three people. One and two have one way to look at it. One and three have it a different way. But the bottom line, it gets done.
Right. Absolutely. Unless you've got too much conflict, and then people start shutting down. They stop participating. They take their ball and they go home, in other words, and leave the other person to just sit out there by themselves. So I apply my understanding of human behavior in working with people to help them manage conflict so it doesn't take away from what needs to be accomplished in the workplace or at home. And I do this by teaching people about the different ways that we all approach anything in life, including conflict, and how that impacts whether or not we're effective in managing it. Conflict in and of itself is not bad. Uh-huh. It's how we manage the conflict in order to stimulate ideas and share thoughts. People need to have some freedom to maybe share differing ideas. And doing that in an effective way is what will drive results.
So, I've got more questions that keep popping up here, but we are getting a little bit of a conflict with, and no, we're not getting conflict with Scott, but everybody, I am having the best of time with Sue here today, and I do want to thank you, Sue, for coming on board with us today. We are going to take a quick break, come right back, and share some more stories.
Great.
Thank you.
I'm just sailing away and enjoying this show today. I have Sue Canfield today here, who is a very wonderful guest here, who is a consultant, a trainer, and coaching expert. Sue, thank you very much for joining us. Hey, while we were on break, we were talking about a special story you had, Steven Tyler.
We were talking about conflict, and it's interesting.
As yes, you were.
As I was watching 60 Minutes a couple weeks ago, they did a story featuring Aerosmith.
Yes.
And back in the 80s, when Aerosmith broke up, they broke up because there was so much conflict between the band members that it split the band apart.
Uh-huh.
Well, a few years after everybody went away and sued their hurt feelings, they came back and got the band back together. And they've been amazingly successful. And yet you could see in this interview with 60 Minutes, still the remnants of conflict between one another, the different styles that they have for approaching their business. You hear Steven Tyler saying that the band is riding his coattails, which as a leader doesn't do a lot to inspire and motivate the people to kind of follow you.
Another one bites the dust on that one.
We see these great examples in entertainers, in sports, characters on TV shows.
Yeah.
And when people become more aware of how damaging the mismanagement of conflict can be to productivity, they start to get inspired to do some things differently, and that's what I enjoy helping people with.
You know, I have to admit, the productivity of this show, you know, I'm finding new guests and special, and, you know, sharing this stuff with you, it helps motivate me and get me excited about bringing these people in. And, you know, as an example, I'm going to give a little bit of a plug here for next week's show. For those of you who are the big fans of the Fred Factor or Mark Sanborn, he is coming in on my show next week, and we're going to talk about his book, The Fred Factor. And I am extremely excited about this. He is a great talker. I have the feeling I won't have anything to say after he finishes.
Oh, that's great. Mark will be an awesome guest.
He'll be great.
I had the opportunity to see him speak, and it was really a pleasure to learn a little bit more about the process of writing The Fred Factor and his new book.
Oh, I was amazed about this because this guy got so excited over his mailman.
Well,
and you know, that's okay. That's okay.
You know, as a performance improvement specialist, what I have to say about his mailman is he knew how to show up in ways that inspired his customers.
Exactly.
To write a book about him.
Exactly. Now, how many people get excited over, you know, that nice kind, you know, you see everything negative, but this guy saw it in the positive.
Right. Well, and what I love about his story and the stories that I see unfold in the work that I do is that people have the potential to create enjoyable, productive, fulfilling lives. And what I love about the work I do with emotional social intelligence and conflict is that these things can be improved. Unlike our IQ, which is pretty well set by the time we hit about 19, our emotional quotient or emotional social intelligence can be improved when we have a greater awareness about it and start to learn some skills to apply a more effective way of applying it.
Yes, yes. Well, I was amazed. I love that Steven Tyler story.
It was pretty fascinating watching some of the things that unfolded on national television with these band members. And with the teamwork that I do, conflict is a big issue with some teams. And when you have team members that don't row in the same direction, I mean, imagine if you've got a rowing team in a boat and everybody's rowing on the left side, where's the boat going to go?
To the right side.
Yeah, and it's going to start spinning in a circle. So people have to work together as a team. Everybody has to do their part in order for the team to, the rowing team, for instance, to reach the finish line. And on some teams that we see out there in the workplace, there's a natural sort of tension sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because people have perspectives about, say, doctors versus nurses. If you're a doctor, you might feel one way about nurses. Nurses might feel one way about doctors. And yet they both have to come together to do what's in the best interest of the patient and put that natural tension and conflict aside. When the tension creates drama, that's when it becomes a not so great thing.
I have a young lady who's coming in about 3 weeks, two, 3 weeks, who is a nurse. And I told her, I says, you know, I hear more about doctors, I hear more about patients, but we never hear about the nurses. You know, these are those unsung heroes out there that are helping. And, you know, I feel the nurses need to be acknowledged.
Absolutely. I think they all work hard. And I spent many years in the medical industry, both in sales and in training and development. My mother was a nurse. And so I could see.
Shout out to Mom.
Yay, Mom. I can see how that conflict can arise because people go into it with differing ideas. We see it with pilots and mechanics at airlines.
Exactly.
The pilots have a view of the mechanics that, you know, is what it is, and the mechanics have a view of the pilots, but that airplane cannot get up and get down safely without both of them doing what they need to do.
Andy, in sync.
In support of one another. And
exactly.
Because we're people, we sometimes have those human conditions that get in our way and our perspectives that color how we choose to approach circumstances, both at work and in life, that determine how successful we're going to be and how fulfilling our life is going to be.
Wow. Wow. Hey, I need to put out one more shout out to a gentleman who's also listening today. His name is Ed Wagner, who I met and is a wonderful gentleman. And I wanted to, you know, just give him a shout out too, since he's listening in on the show today. So, Ed, big shout out to you. Okay. So, let me ask you this. Where, you know, if people want your services and your help, how do we get in contact with you?
I have a website. And again, the name of my company is See It Thrive, like you see with your eyes, S-E-E. And this, the name of the company is See It Thrive. So my website is www.ceeitthrive.com.
Okay, and
I have a blog there, so people can read a little bit about some of the experiences that I've talked about here, and some of the experience that I notice in the work that I do, and see the services that I provide. They can also connect with me on Twitter. I have a Twitter account that they can click on to connect with me on my website through Twitter. Still working on the Facebook page. I prefer to be out working with people more than I prefer to be on the computer updating all the Facebook and everything.
I agree with you with the nonprofit that I do. You know, I stay kind of in the flow with the people who need the help and stuff. But, you know, in the middle of the night, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, when you can't sleep, and says, mm-hmm. Oh, time to fill out the Facebook again.
That's right. Or time to write a blog.
Exactly, exactly. But as I said, I have to say thank you. And again, listening to all my listeners here too, thank you very much for coming on board. And I'm really excited about this show. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. You know, I really enjoy the opportunity to help people overcome some of the things that limit their opportunities or limit their success in life. And I do work with leaders because most mm-hmm. teams have a leader. And in that leadership development, I work either with leaders within an organization or managers of people. In looking at, you know, what do they do to inspire and motivate people? In my mind, that's the function of a leader among others. But if they're not inspiring and motivating their people, chances are their people are disconnecting and disengaging, and they're not getting the performance that most organizations want to get.
Well, let me ask you this. You said you're a people person mm-hmm. and stuff. When you go home at night, do you ever have trouble disconnecting, or do you feel like you carry it with you?
Well, I'm passionate about the work that I do.
And, good for
and, you.
Yeah. You
know, because my filter is colored by the work that I do. And if I watch television or, you know, listen to shows, I see these things show up and I get excited about, oh, gosh, here's another example of what I can use for things that are going well and things that are maybe just more interesting.
So you analyze a lot.
Well, I guess, yeah, that's part of my style. And I try to recognize when that gets in the way.
Lord. Yeah, it's like me at the middle of the night, I get done either doing the radio show and I go home and it says, turn the day off. And all of a sudden in the middle of the night, it says, did I say the right thing? And it said, did I actually say that?
Well, and that shows that you're conscientious about what you do.
Yeah, I have a passion for this show. This is very important to me and stuff.
And I find that people who have passion, you know, get excited about what they do. I can feel that passion. Some people might look at me as a performance improvement geek because I'm always looking at different and new and innovative ways to help people.
So I'm glad you are a performance geek because, you know, I feel like this geeky Santa Claus that does nonprofit and, you know, other odds and ends stuff. So talk about having the titles that I have.
Yes, indeed. And you're very active in helping other people, which is great.
Yeah, and that's it. You know, going back to what you said, you know, you're a people person. You like to do the conflict resolutions, the training, the coaching and stuff. And for me, I hear these sad stories and people who need help. A situation happened and, I says, I have it up my storage. We can get you something to take care of those kids. You know, we can get you restarted again. Yeah.
And that's great. I think, you know, being in service to others has always been a part of what drives me. And when I thought I wanted to be a psychologist, it was about helping people. And then I found that what worked for me better was the coaching aspect and the focusing on solutions and helping people move forward mm-hmm. with the different ways that they can impact what they want to do in their life, what they want to have, and who they want to be. And at the end of the day, when I can lay my head down and know that I'm using the passion and the talents that I have to help support other people mm-hmm. in the growth in their life. That's what gets me excited.
Exactly. You know, and let me guess, you probably have a cat there, too, that gets excited.
Yeah, no, I used to. She managed her other journey.
Okay. But, everybody, we're going to go ahead and take another quickie break. And, again, thank you, everybody, for listening, and we will be right back.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. Slipping, slipping into the future. I wanna fly like an eagle to the sea. With no shoes on their feet, how's the people living in the street? Oh, there's a solution. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly.
Is the future upon us? Yes, I guess it is. Hey, welcome back, everybody, Unsung Heroes on MileHighRadio.com. I have a wonderful young lady, Sue Kenfield, and she is our expert on everything. Almost everything.
Oh, no, not everything.
Hey, we were talking while we were on break here, and I wanted to ask you to go ahead and do that special thing we were talking about.
Well, we were talking a little bit about leadership.
Yes.
And part of what I do in addition to team development is leadership development. And why it's important is because leaders help impact the performance that they're going to get out of their people. And we see many leaders that are hired for their business savvy only to be let go because they're not connecting well with people, mm-hmm. or they're too micromanaging, or they're driving them too hard without really taking into consideration what the employees need. Or
what their input is.
Right, absolutely. Gallup has done a lot of research that shows when people leave a job, they're leaving a manager versus a job. And that's how critically important that skill set of leadership becomes, because it can impact whether or not your organization is losing good talent.
Exactly, and you have these big, major, mega companies that are losing this many people because, they want the bottom dollar, but, they never consider the people's needs.
And you have lots of examples, given a lot of the mergers that are going on in airlines.
Exactly.
In the airlines in particular, having a good leader within, say, the pilot arena, the flight attendant arena, the mechanic arena.
Exactly.
I've witnessed, and I have a blog on my website about my experience with, two different pilot experiences, both showing really different leadership styles and how it impacted me as a customer. And how it impacted the people who were working on that airplane to support my experience with the airline.
Exactly. Go ahead.
Well, and I was going to say, in the workshops that I do with people, when I ask them to identify what characteristics they remember about mentors or their leaders, most of what I see and hear from them are these soft skills of connecting with people, flexibility, optimism, impulse control. In different words, the technical skills, again, are very important, but how we apply those technical skills usually has a greater impact on our success. And that starts with leadership as well.
Definitely. Yes. And so, well, why don't you go ahead and let the people know how to get a hold of you in case your services are needed.
Okay. They can go to my website at www.seeitthrive.com. That's SEEITTHRIVE.com. And they can follow me on Twitter. I just got my Twitter account going, so would love to have people following me and contributing to the dialogue there. I'm also on LinkedIn. And again, what I do is I do training and development with people in organizations and individuals. I do leadership development, team development, conflict management, and emotional social intelligence weaves through all of that. So I do specific trainings around emotional social intelligence and how to improve your success in work and life.
Wow. So what kind of future plans do you have for yourself?
You know, I plan to continue growing my business and having an impact on as many people as I can. I believe the work has a lot of value for people, and the feedback that I get from others is
I see it.
Very positive.
I see it happening.
And what I see is it bleeds over into their life. You know, we speak a lot about our lives at work, but the work that I do with people impacts how they also show up at home and in those relationships with others. And, you know, if you've got a lot of conflict at home or you'd like to improve your relationships, it's really focusing in on your potential. The reason I do this work is because I believe that we all have this really great potential to impact our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we give ourselves enough credit for how much power we have to influence our lives in positive ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of my taglines on my website is to realize the possibilities of breaking open your potential and thriving. And that's the experience that I want people to have in their life, is to really see whatever it is in a way that's positive and uplifting for their life. Whatever that it is that they want to focus on, whether it's work or life, seeing that grow and be fulfilling to the degree that they would like that, and to know that work and life can both thrive together when we're focused on what we can do to change it.
Okay. Yeah, I can see a lot of this stuff tied into when I was working with the grocery stores and stuff. I was having my fun with the craziness of keeping it, and then all of a sudden we get a late load coming in. All of a sudden I'm 3 hours later getting out of there, and then, you know, when you have a special needs child that needs attention, I just said, when do I have time for myself?
Sure, and all that stress that you build up, you know, during that day, running late and then wanting to be home with your family, you know, how do you manage that as you find your way home so that you're the kind of person that you want to show up as when you walk in the door?
Oh, yeah. You know, not grumpy, but, you know, still cheery and happy.
Exactly. You know, all the things that I've talked about are really about how do we choose to show up, and what are the things that impact us in how we show up. And I believe our behavior is directly impacted by our awareness of how we respond, even to really challenging circumstances. And a lot of people have gone through really challenging circumstances here in the last few years. Being able to rise up and overcome those by recognizing the power that we have within to influence our potential in life.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. I'm going to give one more plug here again for my show for next week. This is a big one, the Mark Sanborn show. We're going to have three guests, Diana Hall, who is the right-hand person, who we call her the goddess of talk, Diana Hall. And then we have Deb Creer, who is does the show before me. And her show is called Socialite, and then my show, Being Unsung Heroes. And boy, talk about a diverse source of people. We have speakers, we have the electronic media speakers, and then we have the nonprofit speakers.
That's great.
Talk about a rare mix.
You know, and they're all necessary.
Definitely. That's it. And again, if you ever want to play tag with us on the radio, feel free to email in on the main page. Or if you want to play tag with me at my private email address, it's bradsanta@aol.com. And yes, I do Santa Claus at Christmas time, too.
I can't imagine.
We have the original Santa on Saturday. Or actually, he's on a later date now, but but again, we all have our Santa fixes once in a great while.
That must be fun work that you do.
Oh, yes. You know, if I ever had conflict resolutions with all my elves,
sure,
I know where I'd be calling you for.
Santa had to do a little bit of that. Well, what I love about the work I do is I can help people increase productivity, decrease their turnover, increase market share, increase stress management, and decrease conflict.
And then go find a pillow to scream into. Hey, thank you so much. This has been a great hour. Yeah, I kept saying, where did the hour go?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure being here.
It has been a major pleasure. And, you know, at the end of the day, I usually give this nice little shout out to everybody. But, you know, the bottom line is I kind of tell everybody, I said, the rest of your day, make it a great one. So we are out of here. And Sue, thank you.
Absolutely.
Very much.
Thank you.
Have a good one, everybody. Take care.
It's my old friend intuition, my guiding light, a turning in time to help me through the night, calling all angels.
You're listening to Mile High Radio, milehighradio.com on the World Wide Web for your listening pleasure.